हरि
ओम सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 20. Srila Prabhupada comments, "The servants of Yamaraj replied quite properly. They did not manufacture the principles of religion or irreligion. Instead, they explained what they had learned from the authority Yamaraj. Mahajano yena gata sapanta. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 17.186. One should follow the Mahajana, the authorized persons. Yamaraj is one of the 12 authorities. Therefore, the servants of Yamaraj, the Yamadutas, replied with perfect clarity when they said, Shushruma, we have heard." Right? So, therefore, for how much they knew, their explanation was perfect. Right? So, their perfection is that they were following the footsteps of their authority. So that's the point, is devotee knows how much he knows, and he explains that following the footsteps of the authority. Then is solid. Maybe there's more understanding, deeper understanding, like that, but still they're rightly situated. Right? That's the position. So that's, yes.
So this means from any level we can preach.
Yes, any level we can preach. So we've heard from the authority, and with conviction we give that. It will have effect. It convinced us, it will convince others. Yeah. It's not that you need a huge amount of philosophy. There's something that convinces us. So if we have one thing and we use it, it works. Like that. I heard once of a martial arts system that somebody from Macedonia, they had a system where they used their hip, that they could hit you in the hip and break your hip. Yeah, some very far out kind of thing. But that was his only move. That was the only move. Right? Yeah. So everything else he had was to keep someone else from hurting him. So all it was is he would just, the person would be attacking, and he would just defend until he was in a position that he could hit, because who hits you with the hip? Right? You know? And then that's it. So he had one thing, but it would work. So that's it. If the devotee has one thing, he's convinced of that. That's all it takes to make others into devotees. So that's the point. Now, their knowledge is not deep enough, but the point is that they followed authority. What they knew was explained properly. So what they've said up to now about what is dharma and adharma on the, you know, based on shastra, that's fully correct. They just don't know certain parts of the Shastra, therefore they make the mistake they make. You know, right? You know, just like we see Hiranyakashipu explains Vedanta philosophy. Yeah. And he also is quoting Yamaraj, right? So he's an authority, well accepted. Right? But he doesn't know the actual conclusion, but what he's quoting is correct because he's heard from authorities. So you have to be able to take what is useful and what's not. Not just that the person's done something and so we don't like them, so everything they say is useless. That's not good. That'll never work. Even materially it won't work. Like that. You know, Okay.
The members of modern civilization manufacture defective religious principles through speculative concoction. This is not dharma. They do not know what is dharma and what is adharma. Therefore, as stated in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, dharmam projita kaitavotra, Srimad Bhagavatam 112. Dharma not supported by the Vedas is rejected from Srimad Bhagavat Dharma. Bhagavat Dharma comprises only that which is given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So even if there's other systems, unless they're given by the Lord, then they're going to be defective. And what's given by the Lord, unless what you say is supported by that or is in support of that, then also it's defective. Yeah, so that's right. Modern civilization, they just manufacture, right? It's just like, okay, you have Judaism, and it has rules and regulations quite developed, right? Then you have a preacher within that line who brings out the point of more of devotion and less being so formal, like that. So then that catches on. People appreciate it. They can understand it. So then... And those who are practitioners of that, then some take this up, which is the natural form, right? Since the preacher was practicing that himself. Then someone else comes along with the idea that, no, we'll spread it to everybody, which is also a nice idea. But the problem is then he rejects the whole system of rules and regulations that were handed down. So then there is no parampara. He takes a few points sentimentally, but that's it. You know, he's a historian, tries to document everything nicely. Great. But the whole point is then how do you express it? What are the methods of expression? Those are gone. Mm-hmm. So that means practically everything that's done is made up. Yeah. You know, except for the little hat that they wear on their head. I think other than that, everything else is made up. And that they use wine in the ceremonies, like that. But other than that... That's about it. And the worst part, they don't use the sweet wine like in the traditional wine. You know? It's like, you know, yeah. You know what I'm saying? So there's everything's made up. So then how do you say that this is a proper thing? This is not proper. It's not following. You like something and then you change everything to suit your needs. That's not how religion works. It's taken as it is. Then you try to understand how it applies. What's meant by the acharyas? What did they want? Right? So in this way, then the Yamadutas, though their understanding is limited, their situation as servants of Yamaraj is actually correct. Right. So that's why the Vishnudutas ask them, because they're liberated persons. Right. The Yamadutas are conditioned. So therefore, they're asking appropriately also for their position. You know, because they know who Yamadutas are, you know, and who they're serving. So it's not a problem for them. Yeah. Right? So they've asked, so they've explained this part is correct. And then from that, then they'll show where's the defect. Otherwise, just, yeah, everything you say is wrong. You know, you're not supposed to touch this guy. You know, devotional service, where's Yamaraj's position? So you start off from the bottom and take it up, just like we see with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. There's a discussion between the Vaishnavas and the Brahmins. So he starts with establishing the position of the Brahmins, like that. And so they're very happy with this. But then he goes on to show what is actually the meaning of someone who understands Brahman and what is the Supreme Brahman and devotional service. Right? So then he goes on. So that's the problem. We can't be attached to Krishna and at the same time attached to our social position. Because that was the difficulty. They were attached to the social position of being a Brahmin. Does that make sense?
No, we go on fine.
We?
We go on fine with that. If that's the Krishna, it attached to whatever you have. That's what makes devotional service.
Yes, but when someone's discussing pure devotional service...
That's not the forum.
Yes, then... yes. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Yes.
When you say Bhagavad Dharma, it is what is given by the Supreme Lord.
Yes.
Not all the Vedas are given by the Lord. It means Karmakanda, Gyanakanda.
No, but where are they coming from?
They're coming from the Lord, but they are not always presenting in a parampara system.
But how do you no, I mean, what would be the basis for saying that? If it's in the Veda itself, it's coming from the Lord. It's the breathing of the Lord.
Yes, but there are some books where, like Gita, Bhagavatam is clear. But some of the books are maybe, why there is a karma kanda?
No, but what would be an example? Because the point is you have the Veda itself,
Then
you have the Brahmanas, and they'll explain how to use those mantras in the various rituals.
Yes.
right? And in the Brahmanas, then you'll have your Griha Sutras and your Dharma Sutras. Mm-hmm. So how to use the Vedic verses in law, you know, in other words, how you can understand the Veda by its symptoms. So in the Griha Sutras means samskaras and all the things you do in the house. Yes. And Dharma Sutras, then what is the social systems and everything like that.
Yes.
Right? And then you'll have your Shrauta. They'll all be based on the Veda if you're taking it from that angle. Because Karmakanda means it goes back to that aspect.
Yes.
So there wouldn't be anything that doesn't come along that line.
Yes. So it depends of the Brahmana world.
Yes, that's all.
Is there
means we can read Shiva Purana and see how Krishna is the Supreme Lord, but Shaivites may not.
Yes.
So it's the Veda is always correct. It's just the understanding may not be.
Yes.
Right, because the Veda is talking Achinta Veda Veda Tattva. That is the philosophy of the Veda.
Yes.
But generally something else is understood. A part of that is understood. So the point is connected to the Lord is correct. But it doesn't, it's not as, it's, it'll have its degrees of completeness.
Yes.
Or let's say even if it's complete, it's perfection. Right, so the four Vaishnava Sampradayas, they're all complete, but at the same time as there is a more perfect completeness.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like that. So
yes.
Two of them, they'll get you to Vaikuntha,
mm-hmm.
you know, and two of them will get you to Golok. You know, out of the two in Golok, one specifically will be, you know, more into the Swakya aspect, and the other one will be the Parakya, but it will be a Parakya without separation.
Yes. Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So they don't get to Braj. So only a Chinta Beta Beta Tattva will get you to Braj. So we see is that everything else, you just take part of Braj and you'll get all these other aspects of the spiritual world.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. No contradiction.
So there's no contradiction. It's just different aspects of it. It's just that it's completeness.
Yes.
So just discuss what they know, that's all.
Then you
just do like what is done here with the Vishnu, explain it.
Yes.
You know, in other words, explain their definitions, because they're preaching based on something as a root. So explain that root. And then you go back to the root, and then you see is there, and then bring it out from there. Does that make sense? No, but the point is that's there, but then the point is here, is what is their definition of these things that they're basing it on? How do they define the words? How do they understand the words? That's there. Yeah, so you deal and like that. But otherwise, then if you take it through it and it's still not work, then you know, you have an important meeting to get to. You know, your pet hamster died and, you know, you have a funeral ceremony to take care of and all that. You know, something is there. You know. Like that, you know. Yes? They do speak, but they're understood by the hermeneutics of six schools. And in one school, the Vedanta, you have six schools. Right? So there means, yes. Yes, means whatever aspect is the others are trying to get at by theirs is already included in the Gaudiya Vedanta. Basically, that's Vedic, I would say, is they all do it. Whether they bring it to the front so much, that I'm not so sure. But the point is that by explaining it, it's not that they'll have a problem with it. They just may not have articulated it that way or considered it like that. Does that make sense? So, because that is the Vedic way of looking at it. You have a relationship, you have a process and result, just that we very clearly explain it. Yes, like that. You know, so it's the clearest. And then you have the Lord, you have the living entity, and you have the material energy, right? So material energy has the 24 elements. So that explains that very clearly. Nothing gets left out. Living entities, then you have internal, external, I mean, you have, I say, liberated, conditioned, and fortunate, right? And then the Lord, he's the Lord of everything. He's the supreme absolute truth, right? He's the Lord of Rasa, and he has unlimited energies. So if you understand these, then you understand there. But Achinta Beta Beta Tattva will hold all this together the most perfectly. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that all other sampradayas can get their conclusions from ours. So if they have a problem, they can't figure something else, we could explain it to them. I mean, of course, we have to know what we're talking about. yeah, minor detail. But at least the potential is there. Okay. Bhagavad Dharma comprises only that which is given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It may be concluded that Dharma, religion, refers to that which is ordered in the Vedas, and adharma, irreligion, refers to that which is not supported in the Vedas. Srila Madhvacharya, the original Charya for those who belong to the Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, says, Vedanam pratamo vakta harir eva yato vibhu ato vishvatmaka veda it yahur veda vadinaha. The transcendental words of the Vedas emanated from the mouth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Vedic principles should be understood to be Vaishnava principles, because Vishnu is the origin of the Vedas. Right? So this idea, oh, we're devotees, they don't apply to us. No, the Vedas are actually meant for Vaishnavas. They're not meant for anybody else. Right? Technically. But they're because the Lord, everybody's situated in the Lord, everybody will have a place within the Lord's system. But they only take parts of the system, what they like. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like, let's say, the mature adult, then you have a full menu. And they eat all the aspects because they appreciate the values of them in the way of health, in the way of taste, you know, all these different things. And, you know, cooking methods and all that. But let's say the children, then they just like certain parts. You know, they like what's fried and what's sweet. Did I leave anything out? Yeah, okay, so that's it. You know. So like that. So they just catch parts. So that's the Vedas are actually meant for Vaishnavas, and then the others, non-Vaishnavas, they just take the parts they like. So it's based on the Vedas, so it's correct. They're followers of the Veda. But the problem is they don't understand its actual position connection to Vedanta. So the Yamadutas will be coming from those who are, you know, situated nicely in Karmakanda. Right? So they don't know actually other parts. Yeah. You know, so they're correct in what they know, but they don't see the bigger picture. Mm-hmm. Right? So this idea is that we're devotees, this doesn't apply to us. No, we're devotees, it applies to us. It's the others that doesn't apply to it. Right? Mm-hmm. Like that. Is a bird able to successfully build a home? Yeah, very quickly, easily, with no in-depth, they build like that. So that means is that you don't have to, how you say? They don't follow the technical rules and they build homes. Right? So therefore, one could extend that to those who don't follow the Vedic system. They're able to arrange things materially. That's because in God's creation, animals can arrange things. right? Because human means to follow the Veda. If they're not following the Veda, they're animals. And so if they're animals, yeah, everybody has a skill. All animals have skills.
Yes. One per animal.
One per animal. This guy has a house. This guy has a car. Yes. Yes, it's always eating sleeping. So that they seemingly, you know, I mean, for us, they seemingly excel in that.
Yes.
If you actually make comparison, how well do they excel? Right? Like, you look at, go to a refrigerator, okay? Now, what's in a refrigerator in general category?
Food.
But what kind of food? Different means there's going to be, okay, it's maha, okay. But why is there maha there? Boga is there? Okay. So boga is uncooked, but is there any cooked foods in there?
Yeah.
And why are they there?
Because they're left from before.
And, but is there leftovers when it comes to an elephant? So then who's more expert?
Yes.
You understand? We're not so expert, therefore we have leftovers, and therefore we need a refrigerator. So we're thinking, oh, we're so advanced we have a refrigerator. No, you're not so advanced because you need a refrigerator. Does that make sense? You know, that's the principle. So in anything, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, in all of them, the animals excel humans. So they're good. So humans, the point is if they follow human culture, that's actually the position. Then in that, then there's a refinement and all that. But because we function in numbers and quantity and all that, then and you know, and mode of ignorance and stuff like that, then they excel us. Right? Yeah. We're in the mode of ignorance, but the animals are more in the mode of ignorance, right? So they do their things, you know. You know, when we say, no, but he feels like it, the animal really feels like it. That's all the more there is. There is nothing else. Yeah.
No speculation.
Huh?
No speculation.
Yeah, no speculation, not at all. The Vedas contain nothing besides the instructions of Vishnu, and one who follows the Vedic principles is a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is not a member of a manufactured community of this material world. A Vaishnava is a real knower of the Vedas, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Vedaischa Sarvaraham Eva Vedyaha. Bhagavad Gita 15:15. Right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, like that. You see, that's the whole point is Madhvacharya, it's just about making things extremely clear. Because when you get into the subtleties, then we tend to get distracted. So those subtleties were brought about by yes, Ramanuja. Because I was trying to say Shri's, but Ramanuja at the same time, and I ended up with Shankar, because that starts with an S, but that's not the right, wrong Sampradaya. Yeah. He's given it, but being as purified, a special oneness, then the difficulty is that it brings people across from the impersonalism and Buddhism into the Vaishnava. But because of the subtlety, it can also be not fully understood.
Yes.
So Madhvacharya says things in very clear, you notice also it's Sanskrit.
Mm-hmm.
Very simple, straightforward Sanskrit, not elaborate. Because otherwise, you don't want to, nobody should make any mistake. So you say it very straightforward, simple language. No one can make a mistake.
In the Madhvacharya and Ramanujacharya, all the Sampradaya, this means that all the aspiring devotees are studying the Veda.
They're all studying the Veda.
They're
studying what's come from the Veda.
Yes.
The Agamas,
yes.
You know, means what's come from the Veda. So for Ramanuja, then the main, that means that Veda, they study Veda and they know Veda because they go to all these mantras and that, like what we use, we get generally from them.
Yes.
Like that. Some we have to get from others because they don't know. You know, it's like whoever knows it well. So they're one of the few that really are interested. But sometimes they even recommend the smarta because they know it better. Exactly. They don't know what it means.
Yes.
but they know the chanting very nicely. Right? So then,
how do you say?
Yes, so for him, then it was Vedanta Sutra, then the Pancharatra, and then the songs of the Acharyas, right? The Alwars.
Yes.
So, therefore, then he has his commentary in Vedanta Sutra, because that's the essence of all the Vedas,
yes,
right? Then the Pancharatra, which is also the essence of the Veda, but that will be in your practical lifestyle.
Yes.
You know, so their prominence will be on the Paravidya, the philosophy. The Pancharatric lifestyle, that would be backed up by how much is necessary of the Vedas. So that's in that way, we're very close to Ramanuja. Right? You know, like that. So that's the whole point. They're all parts of the... You take all the four, then all of what... There's their main elements. Those are all part of us. Because we also have our Vedanta Sutra. We also follow Pancharatra, but Narada Pancharatra.
Yes.
You know, and then the songs of the Acharyas. So Narottam Das Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the prayers of the Acharyas, you know, Padyavali and all these other, like this. So these are, that's how we understand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how we understand.
Now, the way of presenting was through the Gurukul system, of course.
Yes, they would learn in the Gurukul.
And do they have a system to, can say for adult education who have not been to Gurukul?
Generally, that would just be your general, you know, programs and stuff like that. That's how they would learn.
Like classes, like that.
Yeah, but otherwise, you wouldn't have detail of learning Veda and stuff like that, like other than the Gurukul system. Yes. I've seen adults come to, I remember going to one teacher, and while I was there, somebody came in who was an adult. They had studied that Veda,
yes,
not from that teacher, but probably from whoever was there previous, or no, they were from another state. They were from somewhere else. But that was when they were young, and then they hadn't practiced or done anything for so long, so they asked them if they could, you know, go through and refresh it for them. Like that. So you had that, but they had gone. But otherwise, your general, because the Dwijas will go to Gurukul. Others generally don't tend to. So then they will buy the public programs, the kirtans, the lectures, the prasad, and like that, buy dealings, how they interact, because everybody will be working under a dwija.
Yes.
So then they'll see the practical, how it will connect.
Yes, by association.
Yes, by association.
So we do the same thing.
We do the same thing. So it's not that there's something missing. So Prabhupada started with that one because you don't have a second generation. And then he started the Gurukul, you know, so that the second generation could develop. So then it could go into that natural state.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Problem is that system doesn't really support the modern non-Vedic lifestyle. Right? So if you want to maintain that, then you basically have to get rid of Gurukul.
Yes.
Yeah.
One or the other.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
We have Vedanta Sutra. So which book actually is under the book? Which books come under Vedanta Sutra?
Which books come under Vedanta Sutras?
Yeah, we also have.
What do you mean by what books come
what
under?
What Prabhupada has written.
That's like saying, you know, we have Bhagavad Gita. What books come under Bhagavad Gita?
Not like that. Means what Prabhupada has given.
Right. Bhagavatam is the natural commentary in Vedanta Sutra, so whatever knowledge is there, we're getting from studying Bhagavatam. Is that what it says? Right? And Gita is Gita Upanishad. It's the essence of the Upanishad, so it's also like Vedanta Sutra. It's the same nature. So therefore, Gita, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar Devotion, these are all transcendental literatures. They're all Paravidya. So that's what Vedanta is. It's Paravidya. All the other schools are not. They're not Paravidya. They're Mimamsa. They're not Paravidya.
Do you know from the
Govinda Bhashya is? Yes. Yes.
You want to know if there's an English translation of Govindavasya that's done by who? Shouldn't you be inquiring from a library about that?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Because the point is what is Vedanta Sutra talking about? It's about understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's all here. If you have the commentary on Vedanta Sutra, then you're already getting the Vedanta Sutra. Now, if you have a technical brain where you like studying Vedanta Sutra, then you can do that, but it's already included here. Does that make sense?
What are you going to study next year?
Vedanta Sutra. That's the second class. The main was a continuum.
Yes.
Next year is 7, 8, 9.
Yes.
Cantos.
Yes.
And Vedanta Sutra for fun. Yes, Vedanta Sutra for fun. The Yamadutas continue. So Vaishnava is a real knower of the Vedas. So that's the actual point. So there's no, we don't have to be enamored by anybody that is a follower of the Vedas or knower of the Vedas or one who is not.
Yes.
Like that. Neither way, because Vaishnavas are the ones who actually know the Veda. And the non-devotee means those who don't follow the Veda, they're not even actually expert in non-Vedic following. You know, it's haphazard because it's something's today, they change their philosophy, and then something that was working so well, they lose. And they have no idea why. You know, they've already lost expertise in learning math and expertise in learning English. They've already lost those. You know, one of them about, I think, 50, 60 years ago with new math, and the other about 200 years ago in English. And they have no idea how to adjust that. So that's the point, is the modes of nature make it, it's working, and then the modes of nature, it's gone. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, it's just, things will adjust around like that. Nothing stays. Does that make sense? Yeah. The Yamadutas continue. The supreme cause of all causes, Narayana, is situated in his own abode in the spiritual world. But nevertheless, he controls the entire cosmic manifestation according to the three modes of material nature, Sattva-guna, Rajaguna, and Tamaguna. In this way, all living entities are awarded different qualities, different names, such as Brahmana, Kshatriya, and Vaishya, different duties according to the Varnashram institution, and different forms. Thus, Narayana is the cause of the entire cosmic manifestation. The sun, fire, sky, air, demigods, moon, evening, day, night, directions, water, land, and supersoul himself all witness the activities of the living entity. So it means all of these are watching what you do. The sun, fire, sky, air, right? Because even if you get, okay, I'm inside, there's no fires, right? The sky, space is everywhere. Air is everywhere, right? Demigods are there in the moon, evening, day, night. So also the twilights are watching you. You know, we're watching them, but they're watching us. That's the meaning of the drig drishya vichar. We think I'm seeing, but actually you're being seen. Right? So you're being seen on how you're seeing. Okay. The directions themselves are watching. Water. Like that. So every time you wash your hands, you're being watched. Right? Land, you know, you got to stand on something. And the super soul himself. So even if you get rid of everybody else, still he'll be there. All witness the activities of the living entity. The candidates for punishment are those who are confirmed by these many witnesses to have deviated from the prescribed regulative duties. Everyone engaged in fruitive activities is suitable to be
Everyone engaged in fruitive activities is suitable to be subjected to punishment according to his sinful acts.
Right. So their point is, so up to this point, they're correct. Right? The Lord is, everything's coming from the Lord. It's all running by His power. It's His laws. Everyone must follow. You follow, then you're correct. You don't follow. So from that, then, how they're following, they're getting their positions, right? So what mentality they have, what gunas they have, what their duties are, what the names are attributed to them because of their position. So all this. And then you have the witnesses, the watch, and everybody will be doing fruitive activities, right? Following these rules for benefit. And so therefore, because, you know, as fire is covered by smoke, somebody's going to do something wrong somewhere. Therefore, in their opinion, everybody comes to them. Right? Like that. And in their mind, Ajamil is a very serious case. Like that. It means these guys haven't bumped into Jagarmada yet. But, you know, but other than him, then Ajamil is the next one in line that you think of as not doing well.
Srila Prabhupada comments, because unintelligent agnostics are mohita, illusioned by the three modes of material nature, they cannot understand that Narayana, Krishna, is the supreme cause of all activities. So that's the, even though someone has the facilities of intelligence, it doesn't mean that it's well. So intelligence is simply what they have by the modes. If you say a scientist is intelligent, he has a high IQ, that's what tools he has. But that doesn't mean he uses them intelligently. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the point. You can give some very nice tool to somebody, best quality in the world, but if they don't know how to use it or what it is, you won't get any good result. So that they have good tools, that's not the sign of there. Therefore, Prabhupada could say unintelligent or so-called. You know, they use these words. Yes.
This will be the difference between guna and the karma. Because karma is there.
Yes, but guna
is undeveloped.
Yes, undeveloped. So therefore, we'll say it's unintelligent because how they, what they do it with, you wouldn't consider. Like, let's say somebody has some money and spends it on something that's not very, very important. You know, it's something cheap or something that you wouldn't use, or, you know, you would say, you know, let's say, how you say, the person once a year goes to this one place and visits and stays for a few days. And because he had a problem getting a proper place to stay, then he buys a place there. Right? But he's only there, you know, occasionally. So that's a waste of money. Why does he need to buy a place that's just going to sit there? You know, so you say it's a waste of money. Right? And then even more, if the place he got cheated, so he spent more than he should have for the place. And even worse, it's not even constructed nicely, so it falls apart. So we would say they're unintelligent. Even though they have money, they've done... So the same way is that we may have the tools of a mind, intelligence, ego, senses, the body, but if we don't use them, then that's unintelligent. Yeah, so that means the skill is there, but the character is lacking. So that's why Krishna doesn't say, as long as you're applying your mood, wherever you apply it, that's good, but, you know, if you know, say... But if you don't apply the mood, it's wrong. He says, doing your own skill, that's proper. Doing someone else's skill is not, because your mood won't match it. So your mood will match your skill. Whether you're good at your skill or not, that's another thing. So it's not skill-based. It's the Vedic system is character-based, because you start there. Right? You're starting in family life, which is an ashram. Then you move to brahmachari ashram. Right? You get trained. Then only you move to grihastha, and then occupation starts. Right? So first is ashram. Then you have an occupation that goes through grihastha life, then a vanaprastha one retires, and then it's back to ashram again. So varna only extends for one quarter of the system. So that means three quarters is about ashram, so it's about character. Is that?
Yeah.
A conditioned soul thinks that he is working stealthily and that no one can see his sinful activities. But we can understand from the Shastras that there are many witnesses, including the sun, fire, sky, air, moon, demigods, evening, day, night, directions, water, land, and the Supersoul himself, who sits with the individual soul within the heart.
Right? Because the modern system is do whatever you want to do as long as, you know, it doesn't disturb anybody else and you don't get caught. Right? If it disturbs others and you don't get caught, that's bad. Right? So as long as it doesn't disturb anybody else and you don't get caught, because if you get caught and it's different from what other people do, their value, then that's wrong. If it disturbs others and you don't, it is wrong. So, and if it's both, it disturbs and you get caught, that's the worst. Does that make sense? So, therefore, but the point is they think we're fine, but the Super Soul is there. All the sun, the moon, fire, everything's there. So it's not fine. So,
so now, if you understand the universal form, you can understand
yes.
all the, and say, sun, moon, everything.
Yes.
And it's natural to understand that we are not alone.
Yes, that's the point. Is technically, the devotee is never alone, because
yes.
he knows he's always with the Super Soul. He's always there with so many manifestations of the Lord.
Yes.
You know, but all these others will be the Brahman manifestation. Super Soul then is the Paramatma.
Yes.
So then, if you understand Super Soul, then even if you don't worry about the others, then you see the Lord's involved. How would he deal with this and that? And so, you're never alone. So that's why the devotee never feels alone.
Yes.
Right? The Paramahamsa, they're on their own, they have no place, no this, but they're with the Super Soul. So
yes.
you're with the Super Soul, then what do you have to worry, right? You know, if you're with a big, powerful, rich guy, do you have to worry about where you're going to stay, what you're going to eat, how you're going to get anywhere? No, he takes care of everything. So you're with the Super Soul, you don't have to worry. Right? So that's it. You know, then you say, but how did I end up in a dump like this? But the point is he's there with you. So he's not going to any place that he's not willing to go. He's not taking you to any place.
Right? So in other words, the verse said, why did Krishna do this to me? But he's also there. He's also come.
It's a team.
So therefore you can't get too upset. It's not like he's sitting in his place and enjoying himself and we're here suffering. No, he's also here with us. Difference is he doesn't suffer. Yes. Yeah. That's the whole point. That's why it says yati or the sannyas. That is also means Vaishnava. Another name for Vaishnava is yati. Because the Vaishnava sees everything connected to the Lord, so they're always working on nice karma. So they see the Lord everywhere and in everything. So that means that this aspect. So that's why then the Vaishnava who's stable is there's no fear.
Yes.
Because he's always with the Super Soul. Okay. The Yamadutas continue. O inhabitants of Vaikuntha, you are sinless, but those within this material world are all karmis, whether acting piously or impiously. Both kinds of action are possible for them because they are contaminated by the three modes of nature and must act accordingly. One who has accepted a material body cannot be inactive, and sinful action is inevitable for one acting under the modes of material nature.
So therefore, everybody's working under the modes, so therefore they're going to do something wrong because there is no pure goodness in the material world. There's always some passion and ignorance. Passion and ignorance means you're doing, at least ignorance means you're doing something wrong. Passion, you may be doing right thing, wrong attitude, but ignorance means it's wrong. So therefore, then everybody's going to inevitably do something wrong. That's the weakness in Jaimini's philosophy. He's thinking we'll just always do good, but the Yamadutas are more practical because they do see everybody. So they're saying everybody's going to do something wrong. Would they have been? A good possibility. But the point is they understand the Supreme Lord and everything. It's not that these others don't understand the Lord, it's just he's not prominent. It means they've established the authority of this, and then they'll go on and focus just on the pious activities. But if you take it back, they'll take it always back to Narayan. So that means all the six Vedic systems accept Narayan as the supreme, and who's beyond the creation. Right? Even Shankara says he's beyond. Right? You know, but their focus is then on the symptoms of that, or the, you know, the methods of expression, or the what was the measurement? How do you measure their understanding or practice of the Veda? So that then is going to be where their focus is. So they're going to focus on the secondary instead of on the primary. So now that they've done that, then they'll come back to Ajamil and that, and they won't connect the position of the whole. They don't know it's the holy name is the highest dharma.
I was thinking also the formula of 50 and 50, pleasant, unpleasant,
right,
infers that 50% of things you didn't do right, that's why it's unpleasant.
Yes, that's a good way of looking at it.
Because that's the material experience.
Yeah, there's some, though it may be very mild, you know, your consideration of, you know, you're at, you know, some high-grade party with all influential people in the world and all that, and so the arrangements are wonderful, but when they, you know, which table you sit at, somebody that you don't really appreciate sitting at the table there also, so then you're, you know, quote-unquote, suffering. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it will be minor, but the point is you, it will be felt by you as that. So for you, that's as big as the other guy, you know, how you say, spacing out and making the wrong turn and walking onto a block that's the next gang that he shouldn't have walked onto. And so his troubles are a touch more, you know. But in comparison, his roughness and his unrefinedness, then it'll be just about the same.
Therefore, all living entities, one who has accepted a material body cannot be inactive, and sinful action is inevitable for one acting under the modes of material nature. Therefore, all living entities within this material world are punishable. Right? So now that's their conclusion. They've come to it that everybody's going to be punished because everybody's working under the modes, so therefore, they're going to do something wrong. Okay. Srila Prabhupada comments. The difference between human beings and non-human beings is that a human is supposed to act with the direction of the Vedas. Unfortunately, men manufacture their own ways of acting without reference to the Vedas. Therefore, all of them commit sinful actions that are punishable. So, between human beings and non-human beings. So, non-human beings manufacture their own systems. So we know the animals don't manufacture their own systems. So, the Yamadutas continue. In proportion to the extent of one's religious or irreligious actions in life, one must enjoy or suffer the corresponding reactions of his karma in the next. You can also take it as 50-50, as you can look at it as bigger cycles. Because then in this cycle of samsara, then 50 is up, 50 is down. 50 is, you know, more pleasant, 50 is less pleasant.
You know. And then the sandhyas.
Yeah, the sandhyas. So you'll get that. So even if this life everything's going perfect for the person, it doesn't mean last life was or the next life will be. You know. So it all balances out in the end.
Okay. In proportion to the extent of one's religious or irreligious actions in this life, one must enjoy or suffer the corresponding reactions of his karma in the next. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, how is punishment administered? To the extent of our dharma or dharma performed by whatever means, one receives the result as suffering of happiness in the appropriate amount, according to the decision of Scripture. So still it's going to come back to Scripture. We can say we don't believe in it, we're devotees, the karmis don't believe in it, it doesn't matter. That's the way it is. The dog doesn't believe necessarily in the Veda, but he barks and chases cats and slobbers. Right? So it's just the way it is. Srila Prabhupada adds, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 14.18, word vam gacchati sattvasta madhye tishtanti rajasa jagan yaguna vritista adho gacchanti tamasa. Those who act in the mode of goodness are promoted to the higher planetary systems to become demigods. Those who act in an ordinary way and do not commit excessively sinful acts remain within this middle planetary system. And those who perform abominable sinful acts must go down to hellish life. So in other words, there it's they act in the mode of goodness, then those who are in ignorance go down, and then those in the middle, so there's some proper, some improper, then as long as it's not too extensive, then they stay here. The Yamadutas continue. O best of the demigods, we can see three different varieties of life, which are due to the contamination of the three modes of nature. The living entities are thus known as peaceful, restless, and foolish. As happy, unhappy, or in between. As religious, irreligious, and semi-religious. We can deduce that in the next life, these three kinds of material nature will similarly act. Right? How they're acting now, that'll in the next life will similarly go. You know, so if they, you know, if you add something more pious, they'll tend more that way in the next life. If there's something a little bit more impious, they'll tend that way in the next life. So in that way, they can see basically the workings of karma. Right? Not on the level of Yamaraj, but they can see. Srila Prabhupada comments. The actions and reactions of the three modes of nature are visible in this life. For example, some people are very happy. Some are very distressed, and some are in mixed happiness and distress. This is the result of past association with the modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. Since these varieties are visible in this life, we may assume that the living entities, according to their association with the different modes of material nature, will be happy, distressed, or between the two in their next lives also. Therefore, the best policy is to disassociate oneself from the three modes of material nature and be always transcendental to their contamination. But this is possible only when one is fully engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. Right? So that's the point. You're not under the modes of nature, therefore you're not bound to it. Right. With that. Yes. So only devotional service can do that. Right? Other processes can't actually make you transcendental. Right, the transcendentalists who are impersonal, well, they'll be temporarily, you know, just like you're on a trampoline. There is that moment of, you know, how you say, weightlessness, like that. But then we're back here. The Yamadutas continue. Oh, no, wait. Just as the Yamadutas continue, just as in springtime, in the present indicates the nature of springtimes in the past and future, so this life of happiness, distress, or mixture of both gives evidence concerning the religious and irreligious activities of one's past and future lives. 47. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. The present life gives understanding of the extent of dharma and adharma in the previous and next life. An example is given. The springtime of the present gives an understanding of the qualities of spring with its fruits and flowers in the past and the spring in the future. Similarly, this life shows the dharma and adharma of previous and past lives. Right? So therefore, then, how you say? They could, you know, you would have to say that according to this, then is perfectly correct that one would, in the present, by the present situation, be able to show, how you say, Ebenezer, you know, what's going to happen in the future lives and what's going to happen in the past. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah? No? Okay. The Yamadutas continue. The omnipotent Yamaraj is as good as Lord Brahma. For while situated in his own abode or in everyone's heart, like the Paramatma, he mentally observes the past activities of a living entity, and thus understands how the living entity will act in the future lives.
The emerald is also in the heart?
It says light paramatma. Means Paramatma is witnessing, he has all the information. So all the information from everybody comes to him. So in this way, he knows everything like Paramatma. Yeah, yeah. No, it all goes to him. So Chittagupta writes it all down. So don't worry. We all have a, what do you call it? Dossier? Yeah, we all have one sitting there. So when we come, then Chittagupta will look through and pulls out our file.
This file is connected to the soul.
Yes, yes, it's connected to the soul. Right? Yes, so that's the point. Is even you change bodies, and you think, whew, okay, but it's still in the file.
The record is there.
Yes. So, therefore, one might be good time to go back to Godhead, because then they don't worry about the records anymore. I'm not sure exactly what they do with, whether they shred it, burn it, or, you know, recycle it, feed it to the goats, you know, compost it. I don't know. But so depending upon who you are, you might be giving great benefit to others when they, you know, compost or recycle your file, right? You know. Yeah. It means as long as the soul is there, it's connected to the subtle body, of course, but the point is it's that soul. Because that subtle body goes along with that soul wherever he goes. It may change in flavor. So it's the soul who's connected. When the soul leaves, then there's no need of, they're not under this anymore. So therefore, when they come back, then they don't have a file. No, that's another thing. They shred the file. That just evaporates because it transforms. Right? Because it's a transformation this way, it just transforms that way. So that means that these devotees who come from the spiritual world, they're not on, you know, Yamaraja's watch list. Right? You know? They may be watching, you know, to see the wonderfulness of the activities and be inspired, but they're not, Chittagupta's not sitting there and writing things down. Right? No, yeah, you're not in the system. So, yeah.
Yeah. Chittagupta
only writes about the humans. Yeah, no, he does not write down what your hamster's doing. Like that. So your hamster's cool. Yeah. Like that. But what who your hamster was last life, that's all written down. You know, if your hamster happened to be that Yentala next door that was, you know. Yes, you know. Yeah, how you say it? You never gave her back that half kilo of flour, you know, that you owed her, and now she's come to collect. Yes. So, but I mean, saying this is in connection to your file. What is this in connection to? Okay, but free from the modes. The point is why is this unsteadiness there? Yes, because we're not functioning in pure devotion. So they'll have some effect, but they're not having total effect. Because we're doing devotional service, so that's beyond. Does that make sense? Yes, because the point is that we're engaging our nature in the Lord's service. So we have a nature that's unsteady.
then it may take a little longer before that becomes steady. But our abilities and skills, we may be able to engage very nicely. You know, but the point is it doesn't. The point is that the devotional service is steady as long as that's always being done. It doesn't matter where you are. And so if it's a matter of moving, then somebody then uses that. They go do a traveling preaching or something, because then you're always in a different place, different situation, but they're always doing the same service. Does that make sense? But the point is, does it have to be something you did now? It couldn't be something you did before. You know, but the point is, it's Krishna's arrangement, because it's Krishna karma, so there's something to learn, something to benefit. You know what I'm saying? Because we'll look at that aspect. It doesn't mean that if the situation changes that's unfavorable, who's created that unfavorable situation, doesn't mean that they get any glory. You know, oh, it's Krishna's arrangement, so therefore, because I arranged it, there, you know, you're suffering, that's Krishna's arrangement. Because I arranged that, I'm assisting Krishna, so therefore, you see, I get nice devotional service. Right? No? Right? So one should not think in this way. There'll be a discredit for disturbing. Does that make sense? Yeah, don't worry about it. Just in the moment you're in, engage that in Krishna service. Now one tries to make it stable and steady so that the quality of service is stable. But that the environment's always changing, that's just the nature of the material world. Does that make sense? So therefore, the steadiness is just that we're doing service. You know, we're chanting our rounds in the temple, sometimes we're in a car, sometimes we're on a train. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we're sick or in bed, but we're chanting our rounds. You know what I'm saying?
Srila Prabhupada comments, one should not consider Yamaraj an ordinary living being. He is as good as Lord Brahma. He has the complete cooperation of the Supreme Lord, who is situated in everyone's heart, and therefore, by the grace of the Supersoul, he can see the past, present, and future of a living being from within. Right. The word Anu Mi Mam Sate means that he can decide in consultation with the Supersoul. Right? So that means he can consult with the Supersoul exactly what should be done. So he knows the Shastra, therefore then he can see, and therefore he can apply. But he consults the Supersoul. So in this way then, he sees what the Supersoul sees. Ano means following. The actual decisions concerning the next lives of the living entities are made by the Supersoul, and they are carried out by Yamaraj. Right? Because if Krishna is sanctioning or not sanctioning every action that everybody's doing at every moment, then why wouldn't he be doing that with Yamaraj in connection with the living entity? You know, Yamaraj himself and the living entity that is being dealt with. So Supersoul is always involved. So whatever, yeah. But the point is you have to be qualified to be able to see the Supersoul like that. So that's why comparison to Brahma, because Brahma, the Lord lives with him, so he can see the Lord. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the point. So Hiranyagarbha is his father. You know, Kiradaksha Vishnu, he goes and asks questions. The thousand-headed Vishnu always lives with him. So like that. So Yamaraj there can see the Supersoul. So like that, you just make the comparison. You make the comparison.
The Yamadutas continue. As a sleeping person acts according to the body manifest in his dreams and accepts it to be himself, So one identifies with his present body, which he acquired because of his past religious or irreligious actions, and is unable to know his past or future lives. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. It is not surprising that the jiva has a tendency for sin, since he is not aware of his previous or next birth. Just as an animal endowed with tamas uses his present body and is happy with its type of food, so man who loses his memory of being born does not know about his previous or next birth, right? Because he knows in the womb, but when he comes after birth, he forgets. Mm-hmm. So that's the point. Because his soul remembers in the womb, that's why then he surrenders to the Lord. But when he's born, he forgets and therefore distracted.
What is the reason?
Why single out birth and birth, death, old age, and disease? Right? It could be so many other things. Birth, death, old age, and disease, relatives, the taxes, the heat, You know what I'm saying? So that, because birth is very traumatic experience. Is that... Death is actually quicker. Yeah, of course. There are people who can drag it out for you, yes, like that. But I mean, the general thing is it's each one has its own problem. You know, birth is a problem, that, but then there's life after that. So then that part's good. The other one is, it's like that, but then it ends. Disease is life is there, but you can't function properly. In old age is you're there, but then also you still can't do what you would like to do. Srila Prabhupada adds, it should be understood that a person who does not have Vedic knowledge always acts in ignorance of what he has done in the past, what he is doing at the present, and how he will suffer in the future, right? Because he doesn't know what he's done and what he is doing now. That's the thing. They're doing something that they feel is practical, but they don't actually understand what they're doing and what its results will be. Does that make sense? Then they don't know what is going to be the results. Otherwise, if they did, would they do it? If you said, okay, I want to invest in this, and if you told them, well, actually, if you invest in this, this company is going down and you lose all your money, you'll get nothing back, will you then invest? No. So the reason that they do all kinds of nonsense is they actually don't know. It seems practical, it seems like it'll be good, as far as their experience and that, then. He is completely in darkness. So, we're not even... We have to, in this situation, following the Acharya, we have to recognize and give credit where credit is due. Right? We should not give less appreciation than is, appropriate. So in this case, we say we must acknowledge the karmis who don't follow the Vedas, their complete absorption in ignorance. We should not neglect to give them full credit. Right? Does that make sense? Yes. Well, that's the position. Therefore, the Vedic injunction is tamasima. Don't remain in darkness. Jyotir Gama. Okay, here it is. Yeah. Try to go to the light. The light or illumination is Vedic knowledge. Tamasima, Jyotir Gama. Yeah, so that's one of the main ones. And then there's that Upanishad, come from the darkness to the light, like that. So, the light or illumination is Vedic knowledge, which one can understand when he is elevated to the mode of goodness, or when he transcends the mode of goodness by engaging in devotional service to the spiritual master and the Supreme Lord. So
by activities situating yourself in goodness, by following the Vedic rules and everything like that, then that establishes everything very nicely. So, or one through devotional service, one is dealing in pure goodness, that will develop the qualities of goodness so that one can actually function in that capacity.
Yes.
Right? But if we're dealing in mixed devotional service, there may be the element of pure goodness and tamas and ignorance.
Yes.
Tamas and how do you say? Rajas.
So the best thing is to be both.
The best thing is to be situated in goodness and pure goodness. Yes. You know, so yes. That's why it says, situate yourself following the Vedas to please Krishna. Because otherwise then there may be areas where we understand Krishna because of the endeavor and engagement from a pure goodness. But and there may be other areas where we can't understand. That's why you get some of the devotees, they can't understand what is Varnashram, what's the need of it, the importance of it, how it applies. That's because this side there's the ignorance aspect. They're not applying it in there. So they're not functioning in goodness in that particular area, therefore they can't understand. Right? Does that make sense? Yes.
The body is sometimes that is bringing others back to the past life, many of the past life. Is there any less ignorance if somebody can
No, but what's the point of the past life? What are you going to gain from it? That, you know, there's a reason you forget.
Some problem was there, and therefore now there is
problem. The problem's still there, so you can tell what it is. There's not enough to eat. What does that mean? What did you do in your last life? Wasted food. You have plenty of food to eat. What did you do in your last life? You were careful about food. Now, he has plenty to eat, but he's not careful about food. What's going to be his next life? Right? He has plenty of food. He respects that. He deals nicely. That means there'll be plenty of food. That means, Prabhupada says, by studying this life, you can understand the last life. You don't have to go through a regression to get there. And the point is regression, you can't guarantee that it's your last life. It might be somebody else's present life, you know, like that. There's one instance of that. They're going on and they're going and like this and all kinds of interaction, discussing so many things and this and that. They think, oh, past life and all this, and they're really excited and, you know, so much detail. And then they get down to, you know, something and that, you know, where were you living at this place and this and that, you know, like this. And then they figure out that the person is still alive. Right? You know, it's a contemporary person, so it's not them. And then they check, and that person is in the hospital close by in a coma. And so they just happened to be out for a walk and saw some regression is going on. Hey, let's have some fun here, it's, you know. Because the point is the regression means that they just clear, so their mind's open. Anything could walk in. I mean, literally anything. You know, you could be channeling your cat for all you know. Yes, they get distracted by this. And then last life was human. How is it the karmis, every life is human? Like that, you know, the guy's nonsense. Why would last life he be human? So yes, it may have been his last life as a human, you know, before all, you know, and then between that life and this life, he's been to hell, and God only knows where. He's been through so many animal species and that, and now he's human. So this idea is that everyone goes, that you're here now, and then you go back, and you have this, and then in the medieval time, and then you're back, you know, with Nefertiti or whatever it is, and then, you know, like that, and, you know, you're out there rubbing elbows with Moses, or, you know, it's like this. It's not that it's going to go like that, because we can see here is one of these hells, you know, you're not there for, like, you know, a few days or hours, you know, some of their, you know, a long time, you know, like that. So, you know, what are we talking here? So what is the meaning? So if you understand it, then you just analyze from there. But because it's more fun to be mystical about it and do all these other things, then there's more of a sense of control. See, if I can regress somebody, there's a sense of control. But if it's a matter I have to have knowledge that's based on someone else and they're the authority in it, then where's my control? Like that. So less fun. Does that make sense? No. Yeah.
Okay. The light or illumination is Vedic knowledge, which one can understand when he is elevated to the mode of goodness, or when he transcends the mode of goodness by engaging in devotional service to the spiritual master and the Supreme Lord. So when you follow the knowledge given by, it means the Veda is coming from the Lord, so that's the Lord part. Then the understanding of that you get from the spiritual master. Then it's the spiritual master and the Lord. Right? So then when you say, you approach someone who's a tattvadarshi, you know, one who has seen the truth, the point is they've seen the truth the Shastra gives, that's tattvadarshi.
Yes.
You know, not that he has to be there, you know, stealing Krishna's lunch in Goloka Vrindavan. You know what I'm saying? No. He could be making the lunch also. Does that make sense? Because that's the whole point, is Krishna is the Veda.
Yes.
So therefore, if you're following the Veda as given by the spiritual master, you have Guru and Krishna.
Yes.
You know, as a minimum.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. So everything depends on Bhagavan or Aja, the unborn. So that's where it goes back to, because it's Bhagavan who is come as the scripture. That's why the point of the scripture is devotional service, to serve Bhagavan as a person.
Yes. No,
otherwise, then if it wasn't, then Brahman and everything would be enough.
Yes.
Okay. Why doesn't one please Bhagavan to receive a better body? The answer is agyas tamasa, because of gross ignorance. One who is in complete darkness cannot know what his past life was or what his next life will be, right? So due to ignorance we don't know. But if we understand from goodness, the Shastra, then you can see.
Yes.
He is simply interested in his present body, even though he has a human body. A person in the mode of ignorance and interested only in his present body is like an animal. For an animal, being covered by ignorance, thinks that the ultimate goal of life and happiness is to eat as much as possible. But, you know, therefore, you have to be careful how much food you give your goldfish. Give your goldfish. Because they are totally in this, happiness is eating as much as possible. To the point where they actually explode. A human being must be educated to understand his past life and how he can endeavor for a better life in the future. Right? So the past life means, if we're here, that means we were here before. Right? That you definitely know. And if we don't think of the Lord, we will be here again. So that's the simple point. And so then we can refine it from there, right? So, yes.
Why would you say that here and now we have been here before?
Well, unless you have, you know, more than four or more heads, and you live on a lotus flower, and your father happens to be God himself, then you were here before, right? Does that make sense? Like that. Unless, of course, you've come down from the spiritual world and you're only playing the, you know, putting these pastimes of human pastimes, so then that's another thing. They just come and appear and so then they leave. So that's another thing. They're in a different category. But for conditioned living entities, then if we're here on this planet, we've been here before. Because we don't start here. Because this is the planet of mixed goodness and, you know, passion and ignorance. Well, if you come from the spiritual world, there, what sin have you done other than not remember Krishna?
Yes.
Right? So therefore, the most pious living entity in the universe is Brahma, which is what the living entity falling from the spiritual sky would be. Therefore, they take birth as Brahma. Then, being Brahma, being in contact with the whole creation and that, if you get distracted by some aspect of it you like, you do the creation and go, wow, that's nice. You know, then it goes down from there. And here we are. Does that work? No. Yeah.
human being must be educated to understand his past life and how he can endeavor for a better life in the future. So then that's what you do. You can understand what you have, where is there. What do you value, what you don't, what's your position. Right? In other words, good birth, education, beauty, wealth, you know, these kind of things, you know, health, no legal difficulties. These are all symptoms of piety. So if you have all that, then you know you were more pious last life. So to have that, and not, that means there had to have been proper performance of Vedic aspects, because that's what generates these things. To that degree you don't have these things, then we know to that degree we didn't perform or we didn't follow the Vedic. Yes. Yes, that'll be the main. But otherwise also just another, like somebody picks up languages. You know, like let's say like Hriday Nandamash. He goes to a country and he's there for, you know, 5-10 days. By the time he leaves, he can already have a simple conversation, you know, like on the street conversation. He just, like that, he knows like 15 languages. So that means he has good, so he's used it properly, language properly in previous life. You know, so however it is, from the grammar, from the vocabulary, whatever it is, so depending on what it is, so he picks up words very quickly. Right? So from that aspect, he must have used his vocabulary very nicely, done very nicely, been very conscientious of how he used the language. You know, therefore, in this life, he can pick up languages so easily. Right? So you can understand. Now, he uses all that for Krishna, then what's the next life going to be? Right? You go to the spiritual world. Does that make sense? So that's how you understand. That means they have the ability to focus and study, so they've used that properly in the past. Now the point is what they study now, and then what they do with it now, that's another thing. Because there's always something, otherwise anything great that's happening in the non-Vedic society is happening because of piety left from a previous birth that is Vedic. Otherwise, how does taking some of the things that they take, how is that going to... You know what I'm saying? You have a discordant musical system, right? The what do you call it? Harmonic. But it's actually discordant because it's going by just mathematical. But actually they're not quite, we get used to it. It's not quite right, you know, just like the kids get used to, you know, some, you know, trash metal or something, you know. You get used to it. So the whole point is it's not quite right, but how is it they know music, they're so good at music, or that they just see an instrument, they pick it up? Mm-hmm. You know, how do they have that? That's because last life, they were good at music. They used it properly, followed the Veda in that, so they know music. But at the same time, something else about their lifestyle was not proper, therefore they took birth in a non-Vedic environment. Due to some reason. You know, if we see they come up and they're very nicely situated in devotional service, then it was due to some mental offense. You know, improper impurity on the mental platform. Right? But if it's other things, then you see they're there, they're situated, they're happy there. Otherwise, I'm always amazed at these guys who are, you know, into this modern music, not classical music, that I'd understand. You know? And not jazz, but they're just into, you know, the popular music, rock music, all these kind of things. And then when somebody brings up a technical point, they know all the language, they discuss it right down to the finest point. So they know music very well. It's just the form that they use, you may attribute it to having a classical basis or not. But the point is they know. So that means their last life they had that. Now what they do with it this life, now that's going to be another question, what happens to them. You know, so we know. Does that make sense? That's going to be a problem. The Yamadutas continue. Above the five senses of perception, the five working senses, and the five objects of the senses is the mind. Right. So above these 15 is the mind, which is the 16th. Which is the 16th element. Above the mind is the 17th element, the soul, the living being himself, who, in cooperation with the other 16, enjoys the material world alone. The living entity, the living being, enjoys three kinds of situations, namely happy, distressful, and mixed. The subtle body is endowed with 16 parts, the 5 knowledge-acquiring senses, the 5 working senses, the 5 objects of sense gratification, and the mind. The subtle body is an effect of the 3 modes of material nature.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.